my age has exceeded 120 years, and in all my young life, I have not seen such a murderous thug as Mohammed.
Yes or no?
Is the messenger of God gay?
Yes, he is. And Omar also.
I know about Omar, but is the master dominant or submissive?
Paul, do you remember the night of the gym?
All right, it is the Rebecca Juro Show. How you doing, everybody? We are here. And that was a clip, I believe, from a movie where they denigrate the Prophet Muhammad. Needless to say, it's the one that caused them to bomb the embassy in Egypt.
Leading to the ambassador's death.
Yeah. Or was that Libya? Libya.
In Libya.
Leading to the ambassador's death. Yeah. Unbelievable stuff. Yeah. And, you know, you found this story, Mr. Mike. There's just, you know, it's amazing that from what we're being told now, apparently even the actors in this movie said that their voices were dubbed and that they did not intend to make a movie that blasphemed this Muhammad. I mean, I'm not a Muslim, so, you know.
What appears to be so strange about it,
you know, but
so strange is that it appears to be designed to stir things up in the Middle East, and it certainly did that. But who is behind it? Well, originally it was supposed to be a bunch of Jewish investors. 100 Jewish investors was the story, and now it turns out that this movie was made by a Coptic Christian who's very anti-Muslim. So, wow.
Yeah.
It's getting stranger by the minute.
Rather bizarre, yeah. Rather bizarre. Well, you know, thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's good to have you along tonight. I'll tell you, we got a great guest. We got Janice Covington coming up at the bottom of the hour. Janice, of course, was at the DNC convention. And she's going to tell us give us a report on how trans issues were dealt with, trans issues, trans people. And the truth is I was talking to her a little earlier today, not everything is all kooky crunch, you know? Not everything was perfect, not everything was as positive as some in the Democratic Party and their allies or whatever you want to call them, their spokespeople would have you believe. So we're going to get into that with Janice later, a little bit later. And this will be good. And in the meantime, what else have we got going on? Let's see. Let's take a look at the right board here, Mr. Mike. Let's see. Here, of course, we were talking about the Muslim. I think you're right, Mr. Mike. I think this was probably set up by somebody. You know, maybe wants to provoke some sort of an incident.
I'll say. That crazy pastor down in Florida is involved in all this. He's the guy whose background includes burning the Quran, and there have been previous fatalities in demonstrations, riots, really, in the Middle East because of his burning the Quran. He's signed on to this thing, and my understanding is the State Department called him overnight or yesterday sometime, asking him to back off of this. Now, this is a free speech issue in the United States. We're allowed to do crazy crap like this movie and to, I guess, to burn the Quran and to express ourselves in horrendous ways like that, in ways that cause international incidents. So what do you actually do if you're the United States government and you've lost your ambassador because of this crazy guy and this crazy movie?
Right, exactly. And you know, the thing is unfortunately, you know, these Middle Eastern folks, they get limited access to American media, and you know, they see this stuff coming out. And, of course, like you said, this guy has done other things. He's burned the Quran. I think he burned or hung an effigy of Obama at one point. Got a visit from the Secret Service over that one.
Wow.
I mean, this guy is a right-wing wackadoodle, okay? And we should all be cautious. Anything that comes out of this guy's mouth, we should be cautious of.
Of course.
You know, the problem is that we know this as Americans, because we deal with this, because we're news savvy, because we're hip to this kind of thing. We know that this guy's a wackadoodle. Unfortunately, that information may not be making it all the way to the Middle East. People who think maybe this guy actually represents what people are thinking in this country. And of course, that's not true, at least not for the most part. And so, you have to have somebody who's willing to say, and really the president didn't do this. The other night he had an interview. It should be the president or Hillary Clinton or somebody, who say, this is not our position as a country. This is a wackadoodle.
Right.
You know, and I don't think that the president did that the other night. He said that Egypt was neither an ally nor an enemy, which is not exactly a ringing endorsement of support, if you know what I mean.
Well, they had the revolution there, and the country is run by kind of maybe not friendly people to the United States right now. The opposite is true in Libya. We helped, our little three-letter agencies are always meddling around in different countries. I guess the CIA helped arrange an overthrow of the Libyan government. Muammar Gaddafi is dead and gone, and yeah. The current government is pretty friendly to us there, and yet this horrible thing happened, and it doesn't represent the government there.
Absolutely, and it doesn't represent the government here, but yet that's kind of what these folks are trying to believe.
Yeah.
We got this one wackadoodle.
Well, these crazy Christianists believe Revelation is literal, and that maybe they can start Armageddon by stirring things up in the Middle East. That may be the motivation behind these crazies, because they are extremist Christians here in the United States and maybe other places too behind this thing. It's very discouraging, I must say. What do you do about it?
You just got to hope that these people start to dig a little deeper. I think so often people, and we do this here in this country as well. I think we need to, slow down a second. This is one guy. It doesn't mean that everyone in the United States feels this way any more than saying, some British guy he represents all of England. I mean, it's silly. It's like saying one person from Egypt represents the entire country. I think we have to be cautious about this kind of thing. Does it reflect a certain view that is prominent enough? Obviously, it does. But it doesn't represent the entire country, just like Terry Jones doesn't represent. The terrorists who went and attacked the embassy, do they represent all of Israel, all of Egypt, excuse me? Of course not. So, you just wish people would be less willing to fly. But then again, why should they be any different than they are here? Honestly, I swear to God.
Now, to their credit, YouTube has apparently restricted access to that trailer that caused the problem. It's probably available other places on the internet. We were able to get a little audio that you heard in the intro today. It's discouraging and strange to listen to. The way the movie was made, they had these actors come in, and the actors, as you mentioned, have disassociated themselves from this movie.
Yeah.
They're shocked, but somehow their voices were overdubbed in ways that are really shocking. That's where the shocking stuff was done, like in post-production, they call it.
Yeah.
And everything was overdubbed, or most of it was overdubbed afterwards, and the actors had no idea that it was going to turn out like that. Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, which is really kind of unfair when you think about it. It really
unfair
is.
Unfair to them, yeah.
But anyway, okay, enough about this, because this just is going to make me annoyed. So I started playing a new video game this week. It's interesting. I'm starting to, how it is with me. I've talked about this before. I have when it comes to video games and things like that, I have the attention span of your average monarch butterfly. I do. I mean, I go and I stay with something for about 6 months, maybe even less if I, I bought a game called Terra earlier this year. That lasted a month. I mean, I'm terrible when it comes to this, but I've gotten involved with another game. This one's called Dragon Age, and it's like very Lord of the Ringsy. And so I just for fun, I changed over my Facebook icon to my Dragon Age. I was able to steal my character picture off the page, off the main page from my profile. And so now, if you go to Facebook and you look at Facebook, oh please don't call me now. Oh, let's see. I have no idea who this person is. Hopefully, it's not for me. Okay. So anyway, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll find this article. You'll find my new picture, which is obviously. I mean, I've had the same photo up for eons, and it was a real picture of me. But I decided I'm gonna take a break from that for a little while. So if you go to my Google Plus account, if you go to Facebook, and you'll see my picture there. Still got the same one over at the Huffington Post and the Blarco Project. I'm not going to be changing those. But anyway, so I'm playing this game, and it's.
I have lovely screen. You know, it's tough to get pictures of you. I have the same pictures that everybody else has been seeing here for about the last 5 years.
I have to get some taken.
I had to do to get new pictures on your podcast, Becky? I took screen grabs of your Huffington Post Live appearances, yes. And we've been using that. And those are look pretty good, actually.
Well, they're not terrible, but.
It looks like you're broadcasting from the Newark Public Library, as I like to say, with all the books behind you there. It's cool.
Yeah, right? I hear an echo, Mr. Mike. Yeah, please make that go away. Thank you. Ah, there we go. But in any case, so I've started playing this game, and it gets very involving. It's kind of like, it's more like a playable story with some gaming in it, rather than a game with some story in it. You really play it, and there's a lot of storyline, there's a lot to follow, you know, and I got the first game, there's two games actually, but there's all this extra content that they release after the game is released. You can have all these extra chapters and they all work into the storyline. And what happens is after a game gets old enough, they put it out and say, okay, well, for an extra $10 or whatever, here you get all that extra content. And because, you know, they figure they're not going to make enough money. So they put it all together at a discount price. And my brother bought this game, and he decided it was too involved for him. So he passed it on to me. And so I've been playing, and I've gotten up to, like, the first few levels, which is not very far into the game. I mean, it's just at the very beginning. I restarted three times because I didn't like the first couple times I started this game. I went and I started, got up three levels, and I said, I don't like this character, and I'm gonna change it. So my third attempt, I'm finally doing well with it, and I'm playing. I'm a level 6 Dalish rogue, if that means anything to anybody listening. But if you know the game, you'll understand what I just said. If not, you'll say, what? So I've gotten involved with this again, and we'll see. We'll see how far it goes. It's one of those games that you can play for hours and hours and hours, and it's one of these things, which is good for me.
I'm on level 2 on the free Sims. On the free Simpsons game that you can get on the iPod Touch. It's wonderful. It's free, and the nuclear plant blows up. And I'm on level 2, which means that I'm at the lowest level, really.
Well, that's okay. You know, you take
nuclear waste.
These things, it's a lot of fun, and it's really good. And there's voice acting, and it's really, really well.
Does that play on a normal computer? No,
it plays on my computer.
Well,
it plays on PC. There's also versions of it for the. What the hell is it called? The Xbox and the 360.
My problem is that I don't own powerful computers, and I can't be a normal gamer. It has to play on an iPad or an iPod Touch, I guess.
This game definitely will not play on an iPod Touch. I don't know about an iPad. Maybe if you have enough storage space and juice.
If they've made an iOS version of it, it'll play on either, probably. Well,
I
goodbye.
I don't know.
I'll quit talking. Goodbye.
It's okay. No, you can keep talking. But it's a lot of fun. I'm having fun with this. And so I changed over my icons. I keep hearing a little bit of a background thing there.
I have no idea what that's coming from. I'm looking at all the meters, and it's not really normal. Well, hang on.
What's going on?
You're hearing yourself back.
Yeah, well, I was. Now I'm not.
That's odd. I don't know what that
means. Sounds fine to me now.
You know what? I think I suspect strongly that your Skype got slightly tweaked when you did the Huffington Post live last time.
Sure.
Because there are some symptoms. Yeah, if you go in there and you maybe uncheck the automatic on that, because that's caused us this problem before.
Let's see.
That wouldn't be originating at this
time. Automatically, no, it's not on automatic.
No, it's not.
No.
How strange.
We uncheck that. The speakers is automatic, but the microphone is not.
Let's see if it might have changed on this end. I'll just do this very quietly.
Now, very interesting.
I don't know. It's acting up. We know that for sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Should we reconnect or...
You want to?
I don't know. Are we sounding okay? I mean, if we're sounding okay, let's keep going.
Well, if it's annoying you, let's try reconnecting. I'll go ahead and... Goodbye. Now, let's recall. This is what splicing tape is for, as we like to say.
Okay.
Hi.
There we go.
Better?
Hi. Sounds good. Oh, there I hear myself again.
Kind of weird. I don't know what to say to you about this crazy thing.
I don't hear it now. Okay. Now I'm okay.
Weird.
This is bizarre. Okay. Well, anyway. So, I'm playing this game. I'm level 6. And I reach this point where I keep getting my ass kicked. Now, the funny thing is you start off this game and you wind up playing normal. And normal is not too easy. Normal is fairly tough. So I can always go down and change it to easy if I decide I can't get this to pass this certain part. It's getting annoying. But I find myself, I'm getting involved with this game. I mean, it's like, it's like a good book. You want to know what happens next. So it's one of those kind of things, and that's usually for me. It's like what happens to me when I play these games is I lose my, I stop caring. You know what I mean? I stop caring, and because the stories are boring, and so that's what happens with me. I lose interest in the storyline. There's another game that I'm playing called The Secret World. I've talked about that before. I'll still play in that, but I haven't been playing. I've been taking a couple of weeks off from that because, it's a great game, but who you can only play the same game for just so long. I've discovered this. And this Dragon Age thing is a lot of fun. Plus, there's a second, it's called extra content. So there's a whole second game to this. Plus there's all these extra side quests. And it all came as part of the same package. So now I have all this stuff to play. And so, I always do the same thing. I wind up prepaying in advance for these MMOs. And then something happens. I wind up wasting the time because I'm busy doing other things. Which is why I thought, I'll play it smart. When I got Star Trek Online, I got a lifetime subscription. I got bored with that game in about 6 months. And now it's like I have the lifetime subscription. I paid a lot of money for it, which I don't use. It's very funny. Anyway, so enough about gaming. Let's talk. We got Janice Covington coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Here's something, and maybe we'll ask Janice what she thinks about this. We'll cover this real quick. Apparently, today on Anderson Live, which is, of course, Anderson Cooper's show, there was an exclusive interview. And can you believe this? I almost can't believe I'm reading this because, as I read these words, my respect for Anderson Cooper as a journalist drops exponentially. Exclusive interview with a person who claims an anti-baldness drug made them transgender. No, seriously. Okay, I mean, is this the stupidest thing you've ever heard of? Okay, I mean,
Is there a lawsuit involved or something like that? How crazy.
I don't think so. I don't see anything noted here. Mara Kiesling, of course, executive director of National Center for Transgender Equality, said, "All of us here at the National Center for Transgender Equality are surprised, saddened, and disappointed that a respected show like Anderson Live..." Well, I don't know about respected show. Didn't the show just premiere this week? I think it's a little early for it to consider being respected. I would certainly say that Anderson Cooper is pretty respected, but this show hasn't been on more than 2 days, so I don't know if that qualifies. But anyway... disappointed that a respected show like Anderson Live would give credence to this type of sensationalism and misinformation. This segment is just another case of sensationalizing an already marginalized population, plain and simple. The segment, as described on the Anderson Live website, says Mandy, who was born male, speaks out for the first time, claiming that a hair loss treatment caused him to become transgender. Mandy is joined by her ex-wife Michelle. Now wait a minute. Are you checking this out in one, in two sentences? Okay, it's the website says, claiming that a hair loss treatment caused him to become transgender, and then in the next sentence, Mandy is joined by her ex-wife Michelle, who opens up about how Mandy's identity transformation has affected their son. So in one sentence, they're calling Mandy a he, and in the next sentence, they're calling Mandy a she. I mean, what the fuck? Do these people have a clue?
Now, the hair loss treatment in question is something that suppresses testosterone, incidentally, which is commonly used by guys. There's a certain variety of testosterone that this works on, but yeah, it shouldn't cause that, should it?
That's well, unusual. No, but I mean, I have heard cases where they say you have to be careful because it may cause breast growth or something.
Okay,
because, you know, here's the thing. I mean, people know this. Estrogen is the cure for male pattern baldness. The problem is most men really don't want to take it because, well, they don't really want to grow tits. You know, there's that growing tits thing. I have big trouble wrapping my mind around this. I think that this guy, or this, I shouldn't say guy, this person had the desire from day one, but he was trying to work out in his head how they were going to leave their wife, start living as female. And, you know, you think to yourself, this is what they're putting on television? You would think that Anderson Cooper would know better. You really would. You know, and so kudos to Mara and NCTE for pointing this out, because this is crap. Mara also said, Cooper and his team have earned a great deal of respect from trans people for their coverage of our issues, and this latest endeavor throws all of that away. They seem set on misinforming the public about the causality of trans identity. I totally agree with that. I mean... You know, come on. You know, he's interviewed Chaz Bono. I mean, doesn't he know better? And what's even worse is what they had on the website, their explanation for this crap is, okay, you ready for this? Listen to this. Today we hear Mandy's story not to give the impression that what she says is what every transgender person goes through. You got that right. But because everyone has their own experience and you want to respect each and every person's story. I mean, what bullshit. Hey, Mr. Mike, why don't you run Act Two?
I just find it hard to understand or believe that all of a sudden you would start to feel that you were meant to be a woman.
Well, Anderson, I mean, the only thing I can say is, I mean, this was such a life and death struggle for me. I went into severe depression, and I, in by the time I got to 2011, you know, my marriage had ended. I was living alone. I was having physical feminization symptoms on my body, breast growth, you know, other symptoms like that. And emotionally, I was having female-type feelings as well. It stressed me out to no end. And I would have panic attacks. Several times I went to the emergency room. Later, you know, I thought that was the cause of all my problems. I accepted that I thought I was transgender and that it was stressing me out so much about coming out that I was having panic attacks.
Yeah, I mean, if you truly are transgender, well, panic attacks in a lot of cases are not exactly unheard of. But, you know, to blame it on a baldness treatment, I think that's insane. I mean, obviously, as far as I'm concerned, Mara hit it dead on the nose. Honestly. You know, I mean, this is just dumb. Dumb. Okay? And not only that, but it's demeaning to... You know, it's demeaning to trans people. Honestly. I think, you know, because it demeans the trans experience. It says, well, you know, it's like, it's all about hormones. It has nothing to do with anything else. Here was just this normal guy walking down the street, tries a little bit too much Rogaine, and shazam, he turns into a woman. No, I don't think so. Okay? I'm telling you, here's what I'm saying. This guy, or this person, I keep saying guy, but you know how it goes. Okay, this person had issues and couldn't come to terms with it. And so I think that maybe this was a way of justifying it in his own mind or in her own mind to the world. That's what I believe. And you know what? There are people who do that all the time. I understand where it's coming from. What bothers me is that Anderson Cooper is stupid enough to give this some credibility and put this on his television show, because this is a joke. This is National Enquirer level garbage. I'm sorry. It just is. Okay? It's like being gay. You either are or are not. Okay, there is no magic potion, as anybody who is actually trans can tell you. I mean, this is ridiculous on its face. And you would think that somebody like Anderson Cooper, who understands the nature of sexuality and of having a non-standard sexuality, okay, would understand the nature of having a non-standard gender identity, and that you can't use Propecia to get one. I mean, it's such unbelievably stupid stuff. Okay, yes, it's true. There's estrogen-like and estrogen-type compounds in Rogaine and Propecia and that kind of thing. And you can get breast growth, but to turn you into a transsexual? No. I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous on his face. And I think it turns Anderson Cooper from a respected journalist into, like, you know, TMZ or Entertainment Tonight or some other nonsense. It's disappointing, you know. And then, of course, you know, I could like turn around and say, well, you know, this is, you know, Chaz Bono won't talk to me, but he'll talk to this guy, right? I mean, okay, I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't, you know. But yeah, I mean, it just amazes me, and I'm not going to do this because I would like to. Hopefully, one day he'll decide to come on the show, and I don't want to piss him off too much. But you know, I mean, he goes on these shows with this boob Anderson Cooper who's putting this idiot on. He goes on Don Lemon, who asks him what it feels like to shave. He goes on all these shows on the mainstream with these uninformed people, and I'm biting my tongue as I say people, and, you know, he won't come and talk to his own community.
You know, I mean, I've had other people, a few other trans people of note who I've tried to get on the show. And I keep getting the same reaction. Oh, no, she's not giving interviews right now, or this one. You know, I mean, it's like, you know what? Fuck you. It bothers me. Certain people, I don't, that fuck you does not extend to. There are other people who's just having scheduling issues. And, you know, you can understand that. These are busy people. You don't get too angry. But some of them, it's like, you know, you could take 20 minutes and talk to the community. Come on. Anyway, it looks like it is just about time for a break. We have got Georgie Jessup and Working Class Hero from John Lennon, and we will catch you again in 5 minutes. Stick around, gang.
Criswell, this is a story of those in the twilight time, once human, now monsters, monsters to be pitied, monsters to be despised from the innermost depths of the world.
You won. Hi, this is Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. With only weeks until the most important election of our generation, I wanted to speak directly to you, my most loyal supporters. Roll down and fill out the form below and make your most generous contribution to the campaign. We can agree together, but now we need to act together. And I need to ask you to please do this right now. When you fill out the form below and when you make a donation, you'll be sending a statement to the liberal machine that runs the town of Washington, D.C. And you know what's on the line. You're standing for America and for our Constitution.
All right, we are back. It is the Rebecca Juro Show. Thanks for sticking around. And we have our guest, Janice Covington. She was a DNC delegate this year at the convention. And we're going to talk about the convention and get a report on how we were received this year. Hi, Janice. How you doing?
Hey, Rebecca. How are you, honey?
I am just great. Now, I wanted to ask you, we were talking on the phone a little earlier today when I asked you to do this, and you were telling me that you thought we were certainly well-received on a personal level, issues-wise, you weren't quite so happy. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you experienced at the DNC this year?
Okay, first I would like to say that Babs and all... And all the girls and guys, we had a great delegation. It was one of the greatest, and we were well received by all of the people at the DNC.
Absolutely. Babs is terrific. We have her on the show all the time.
Oh, yeah. I love her to death. But anyway, there was a lot of emphasis put on same-sex or same-gender marriage. And, you know, I can understand that, and I am for that 100%.
Of course, absolutely. I think all of us are.
Oh, yeah. I didn't feel like there was enough emphasis on ENDA. And, you know, I believe that you know, people should be able to work first. And, you know, you got to have a job to get married, the way I look at it. You know, if you get married and don't have a job, it ain't going to work too well.
But, exactly.
Yeah, and there was a lot of emphasis, I mean, about 90%. On same-sex marriage, and I was hoping more, you know, on a national level of employment non-discrimination, because, you know, I feel that whether you're gay or lesbian or transgender or bi, that, you know, a job, you know, without discrimination and bigotry in the workplace is the most important thing that you can have. And I kind of, you know, went into it hoping that would be first, but I was wrong.
So, okay, let me ask you a question. Let's start off. I know that there was a small presentation
to Brian Bond. I know that you said that. How was the delegation received within? I know Babs is, for example, the first DNC elected member of the DNC, of the actual committee. How in your experience were trans delegates accepted or dealt with on a personal level? Did you find you got a lot of interaction, or was there a lot of separation between the trans people and the gay folks, or how did that work out?
Well, when I went in, you know, we all kind of sat close together, you know, kind of like a covey of quail, and but you know, there was about 500, you know, LGs there also, and but, you know, they were nice to us. You know, we presented the Jane Free Award, and everybody applauded to that, and, you know, they thought it was great. But, you know, but all the directions was more towards, you know, marriage. And you know, I just hate to see, you know, a lot of people, I feel like, and even in my community locally, you know, I look at them as being a little selfish, you know, to trade a life, you know, of a person, you know, that can be out there making a living and having a life for themselves for a gold ring. I just can't see it.
I understand what you're saying. So was there much discussion of workplace rights on the ground level? I mean, we realize, of course, anybody who watched this, now I obviously was not there. I watched the convention speeches on television. At least I watched a lot of them. I wasn't there 3 hours a night or anything, but I watched several of them. The only one that I noticed that mentioned workplace rights was, I think he was a state congressional leader in California who talked about jobs, who was kind of out of prime time. He wasn't on prime time. Other than that, I didn't notice anything that was relevant to LGBT jobs. Do you feel... that the DNC has kind of just, you know, decided that they're going to put all their eggs in the marriage basket and focus on that? Or, I mean, are they just ignoring us, or have they actually turned their backs and say, you know what, we're going this way because we think this is the best way to go?
Well, are you referring to the speakers at the LGBT caucus, or are you referring to the speakers at the DNC convention?
Well, I would like to hear your opinion on both, actually.
On the caucus, there was a few speakers, you know, that spoke about jobs and inclusiveness, but mainly it was about marriage, you know, at the LGBT caucus. But at the DNC convention, pretty much all the speakers, you know, talked about jobs and being inclusive and the Democrat Party being diverse. And that really made me feel good.
Well, that's good to hear, at least. You know, my concern is always the same, that, you know, just because it works in the caucus, you know, without any without any legislative effort behind it, it's difficult to get excited about something like this because... You know, we see, like, for example, we see in the United States Senate, we see Senator Harkin saying very eloquent things, Senator Franken and these folks in the Senate. We've got Kyler Broadus, first trans person. You know, we're seeing these things now. But
oh, yeah.
I also
well,
think
you know,
we're seeing some hypocrisy on the part of the Democrats, I think.
Right. The move is in the right direction, but as far as ENDA, it's a little bit slower. You know,
yeah.
I would say a lot slower than being put on marriage.
What I mean by that, and I want to get your thoughts to see what you've experienced at the ground level interacting with these people, was, for example, what I mean by hypocrisy is that they didn't seem to, you know, they say they support our civil rights, but yet we don't get a vote, you know, even when they had... Everything that they asked, they said that they needed to get ENDA passed and more. We got nothing. And yet, what we see now with the marriage thing is we see people falling all over themselves to be the first ones to say, you know, to tell people how much they support marriage. And you got to wonder, at least I have to wonder,
if you can do this, if the Democrats can be so courageous on marriage, an issue that's so controversial it's already banned in 31 states, including, I might add, the state that they were in at the convention, North Carolina, which is where you're from, you know, then if it's that controversial and they can come out in favor of that, then why is it that we're not seeing the Democrats go for the issue that A, the polls show us people care most about, and B, that is far less controversial? I mean, that's what I'm having trouble with.
That's a good question, and I have a problem understanding it also. You know, I don't have an answer. You know, I've always thought that the most important thing in life was for people to work, you know, to people to have the opportunity, to have a new car like everyone else, opportunity to have a chicken in every pot. But the problem is I don't feel the energy with the LGBT folks in the caucus towards HENDA. I just don't know. When I talked to my delegation from North Carolina, just heterosexual people, mainstream, they're all for it. They're 1,000% for employment non-discrimination. And they also support, you know, same-gender marriage. But, you know, when I explain to them what HENDA is, you know, they're all, you know, I'd like to see that too.
In our community,
the LGBT community, the energy is not there for HENDA.
That's my real question there. Is part of the problem, in your opinion, that people just don't realize that outside of us, outside of the trans folks and the lower and working class folks, that people just don't realize that HENDA is an issue because nobody talks about it. Everybody's all marriage, marriage, marriage all the time. And do you think there's like maybe people are just saying, you know, that this is what people presume our issue is because it's what all they hear about?
Well, the way I feel, you know, if people have a job, they don't think about it. They have a job. They don't think about the poor people, you know, that had a job and couldn't keep the job because they were too flamboyant or too butch or, you know, a person that wanted to work, you know, full-time as a transgender woman. You know, these people, a lot of them have jobs and, you know, the most important thing to them is getting married. I don't know whether it's just, you know, being on, you know, one track mind or, you know, they're satisfied in their situation and they just don't care.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's what it is? Because I've said many times that what I think a big part of the problem is that the people who are for marriage are the people who already have nice homes and good jobs. It's the people who are struggling who are the ones who are talking about HENDA and about workplace rights.
That's exactly right. You know, gay men and ladies of the community, which I refer to as lesbians, they talk about jobs all the time. You know, the ones that don't have the big home and the big car and the BMWs and stuff. You know, I see it all the time. And, you know, yourself, you know, the LGBT community, you know, sets itself in different classes. And if you're not in that particular class, you know, the upper class, you know, you're down there in the bottom. You're just as poor as anyone else. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. It doesn't make any difference whether you're transgender, gay, or lesbian. You're down there in the lower class, and you're poor and you can't eat.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of the problem is I think people who for those who this is not an issue, I think
that's true. You know, they're more concerned about getting married. You know, that, like I say, I support it, you know, 1,000%. And I know you support it. But, you know, there's you know, the issue of people being able to work and be able to feed themselves and have a roof over their head, you know, that I feel like, you know, our community is the most important thing that we could ever have is HENDA. You know,
absolutely,
that supersedes everything. And in November, after the November election, and my state, North Carolina, gets back to being a Democrat Senate, I'm going to move for a state HENDA. I'm not going to wait. I feel like I have mainstream North Carolina, you know, on my side from what I've talked with the lieutenant governor and I've talked with the governor and you know, state house people, they're on my side. So in November, I'm going for the state end of North Carolina.
Do you think that, number one, is there a chance? I have to admit that personally, I'm not as familiar with North Carolina politics as, you know, I live in New Jersey, so I'm not. But do you think, A, that there's a real chance of an ENDA being passed in that state, and even with Democrats in office? There's a chance of getting that kind of majority?
You're referring to in the shadow of Amendment 1, which was ratified on May 8th. I think there is, because, you know, if we educate the people, that's the key. The LGBT people live in a circle. They live in a bubble. If you can reach out and join the Lions Club, join the Shriners, the Elks, the Moose, reach out there and join, you know, mainstream America, and let those people know who you are. Let them get to know you. Find out that you're a person just like them. They'll turn around and love you. That's what they did with me.
Hmm.
I'm standing proof, because when I was elected as a Democrat, I wasn't elected by LGBT people. I was elected by the people of North Carolina, the heterosexual community.
Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind.
Well,
but also,
you know,
let me say about President Obama. I feel like President Obama is a man of integrity. You know, he got handed a plate of junk, you know, by yes. Bush on the bailout, you know, for Wall Street. And, you know, he had a big thing trying to straighten out. It's tough to do something like that in 3 years. But on the other hand, I feel like, you know, Obama, you know, looks at the citizens of America as being, you know, citizens that deserve the same rights as everyone else. In his mind, in my mind towards him, he's the first. And he's not doing any special favors for the LGBT. He looks at the LGBT, the Latinos, the Afro-Americans, all people of our country, and give them the same rights as everyone else. It would not surprise me that he would turn around and sign ENDA before the first of the year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, your state has, correct me if I'm wrong, a Republican governor.
I know. We have Governor Beth Perdue. I sat with her at the
Okay. I'm getting you mixed up with that crazy woman in South Carolina.
Oh, no. You're thinking about South Carolina. No, we don't have her.
Okay. Well, and more power to you for not having her.
I forgot her name. Callie something, Kaylee something like that for her name down there.
Nikki but, Haley, I think.
Haley. Is that what her name is? I don't know.
You know, the thing I'm wondering is, you know, I mean, North Carolina is, I guess, emblematic of the kind of state that I don't know if you'd call it a swing state, but there's certainly a strong Democratic Party there.
Yes. We were blue state back in the early 70s.
Yeah. And so you feel that there's enough of a community and political force in both your state and nationally in the Democratic Party to really get these folks to finally step up and you know, stop playing these games like we see with, you know, another point of hypocrisy that I was talking about before was the way that they held a hearing on ENDA in the Senate this year. They had Kyla Broadus, okay,
right.
And they said, oh, isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful how we have the first transgender person to speak before Congress? And it was, and it absolutely was. However, remember how they were totally outraged how, the Republicans held a hearing on women's health and they didn't invite any women. How horrible, how outrageous, how disgusting. It's like, yeah, but you guys have held hearings on LGBT civil rights and you didn't invite any LGBT people to speak. The first time, they had nobody. They had to, after the community outcry, they allowed one gay man to speak. I mean,
well,
that's,
you know,
what
during,
I mean by hypocrisy on our civil rights.
I didn't see any gay people on TV, did you?
I'm sorry?
I said during the RNC, the Republican National Convention, I didn't see any gay people on TV during the convention, did you?
Not that I could think of off the top of my head who were actually were actually
gay. Well, when I walked into that convention, I wore my colors. And I didn't see anybody at the Republican convention wearing colors.
Yeah. Well, see, I wore my rainbow, and that, I guess that bothers me, you know, because I think to myself, you know, if you're going to stand up for these things, then where are you? You know, if all you're going to talk about is marriage, 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 and then, you know, that's why I have these issues, because it always seems to be, oh, it's jobs, 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 but we didn't mean your jobs. And if Congress doesn't act, we will. Oh, but we didn't mean you. You know, that's kind of where I start having problems.
I think the movement, I've been out since 1969, and, right now I'm 66 years old, and I came out and I dressed as a girl first time in 1969 with Roberta Fusco, Sonny Ray from Chicago, and she's still alive and she's still my friend all these years. And our movement has been slow. You know, I left San Francisco just before Harvey Milk came. I wish I stayed because I would have loved to meet him. But, you know, our movement over the last 40-some years has been slow. But in the last past 2-3 years, our movement is starting to pick up. I mean, I'm seeing it pick up 10 times faster than I've seen it over the past year. And I think it's due to the Democratic Party with their philosophy that there's no discrimination in the Democratic Party. And, it's starting to be way more diverse than it used to be.
Sure, but no discrimination in the Democratic Party? I'm having a little trouble wrapping my mind around that.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is that is their motto. That's what they adopted. That's their platform, that they talked about. There's no discrimination, no bigotry. You know, we treat everybody the same.
But isn't that the point, that they don't treat everybody the same, and that's really the problem?
Well, it's gone in that direction, believe me.
I'm glad to hear that at least. But I think what you were saying before is really the
years.
Point.
You've been knowing me for years, and you know how radical I can get.
Well, the thing is I'm of the opinion, as much as I support the Democrats, because when you compare them to the Republicans, I mean, there's no comparison. If all you're doing is you have two choices. But then on the other hand, I kind of say to myself, is this really the best we can get? Don't we deserve better than this? I mean,
well, I understand what you're saying, you know, and each person has their different views. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, Barack Obama has done more for us than any other president in the history of the United States combined.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's funny because I was saying this to Dana Byer the other week. Saying that Barack Obama has done more than any other president really doesn't mean much, because who are we comparing him to? George Bush? Bill Clinton?
Well,
come on.
I'm comparing him to everybody, all the way down to George Washington.
But come on. I mean, let's be honest. Transgender people did not exist as a political force until, at minimum, the middle of the 90s. Okay? And Bill Clinton, we lost more in real terms under Bill Clinton than under George Bush. Okay?
Well,
don't ask, don't tell. The Defense of Marriage Act. The more real damage was done to LGBT rights under Bill Clinton than under George Bush.
Are you saying under Bill Clinton or Barney Frank?
No, under Bill Clinton. Okay? I mean, we got both the Defense of Marriage Act and Don't Ask, Don't Tell with him. Barney Frank. I mean, you know, how long ago was it that he was advocating a non-inclusive ender?
Oh, yeah. You know? That's right. We don't want no transgenders in there. We don't want them in the ladies' room. You know?
Right.
We don't want them on the ender package. And
which
that
is
was
ridiculous.
Barney Frank's position.
I mean, that argument makes as much sense as the voting rights argument. You know, we're going to do this to protect against an issue that doesn't exist, that we have no proof ever happened, but we're gonna rewrite the law to prevent it. You know, it's the same level. Okay, and the Democrats are just as disingenuous as Republicans when it comes to this kind of thing.
Exactly.
I mean,
well, you know, the way I look at it is they need to follow the 14th Amendment. You know, yeah. The 14th Amendment explicitly says that you don't put anybody in a separate class.
Well, that's what it says, but the reality is we've put people in separate classes throughout American history, whether because of race, because of religion, because of sexuality. You know, we have not stopped dividing people.
That's true. You know, you go back to, you know, the McCarthy days and stuff like that, but now you got people starting to open their eyes. They're starting to see, and that's what the excitement is about. You know, we're moving ahead. I mean, we're moving ahead, and you got to admit yourself, Rebecca, that we're moving ahead now than we've ever done in the past.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Hey, Janice, we got to take a quick break.
We didn't get on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, though.
Right.
Transgender still, you know, we can bleed too, but they won't let us serve.
Right, exactly. And you see, that's another thing. You know, and Dana Byer, who I think is great. I love her.
I think she's
a little bit too confident that, for example, the EEOC ruling is going to hold up without any problems. And I think it's too early to tell. I think that we have to see if it survives court challenges. We have to see how it's implemented, if it's implemented properly. I think there are so many unanswered questions there. And you know, I wish I could be as confident as other people are.
You remember when I met with Joe Solomies a few years ago?
Okay. I mean, I was not aware of
that. During the demonstrations. Remember when we had all the demonstrations against HRC?
Sure.
Yeah, their game was right. Well, I met with Joe Solomies, you know, here in Charlotte at the Carolina Gala. Mm-hmm. And he assured me. He said, Janice, we will never, ever negotiate anything without the TB included.
Yeah.
And I took him for his word. And he went back to Washington, and he had the board of directors of HRC vote. And they voted they would never, ever negotiate anything without the TB included. And it broke my heart when I heard Don't Ask, Don't Tell last year, because the transgenders weren't included.
No.
It broke my heart.
Because they really don't care. What they care about is good PR, not good advocacy. And
exactly.
That's the thing. I said this on the show a couple weeks ago. You look at the mailings that they send to you asking for money, and you just look at what they talk about in those mailings, and you can see quite clearly what their focus is. I mean, it's like 30-1 marriage over jobs or immigration.
Well, they have the new director
now, and
he's focusing he came from California on his Proposition 8, you know, same-sex marriage.
Okay. Hey, Janice, we're going to take a quick break. Do you want to stick around for a few more minutes?
I can if you'd like.
Okay, definitely. All right. We have got a quick break here. We have got Hedwig and the Angry Inch with Sugar Daddy. We'll catch you in a couple, gang.
I've got a sweet tooth, licorice drops and jelly rolls.
Oh, I want all the luxuries of the modern age. Every item on
tattered and worn. Mama's doing the best that she can. Takes hope in a hopeless world. Try to find love in such hateful time. Try to stay strong, but my mind is weak. Looking for hope in a hopeless world.
Alright, we are back. It is the Rebecca Giroux Show. Thanks for sticking around. We've got Janice Covington, DNC delegate, trans DNC delegate from North Carolina with us. And Janice, another thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, we've been hearing a lot of things. We heard a lot of positive things at the hearing in the Senate. We're hearing noises about ENDA. Recently, we just saw this... I guess you could call it a new report that's out. Human Rights Campaign, a couple others saying, you know, there seems to be suddenly a new focus on LGBT workplace rights, the inequalities of LGBT people. You know, to a casual observer, you might think, well, okay, they're finally starting to get on board here. Do you think that's the case? Do you think in a second Obama term we're going to see ENDA pass and some of these other issues that we're you know, have been longstanding?
I think so. Just like I said, you know, let me reiterate. I believe President Obama will sign the ENDA package by the first of the year.
But how does he do that? I mean, the House right now, I don't think they're never going to bring ENDA up for a vote. And even if they did, I don't think it would pass right now.
Today, no, because it's got to get through the Republican Senate. The Republican House. That's going to be kind of tough. We got to do some changing.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is do you think, I mean, because we heard this before, I mean, let's not forget, the 111th Congress, they had everything they said they needed and more, and we didn't even get a vote. So I think it's fair to ask.
From what
I understand,
they didn't have the votes. They had the Democrat Congress, but when it got down to it, the reason they didn't bring it up because they claimed they didn't have the vote.
Well, that's what they said, but yet we've heard so many different things. We heard Nancy Pelosi saying that she said that don't ask, don't tell was what the activists told them they wanted to go first. And I personally tried to check out that claim. I have yet to find a single activist who tells me that they would have preferred don't ask, don't tell to go ahead of ENDA. We hear these things. We heard Harry Reid said, you know, 3 years ago, they asked him when it was getting a vote. He said soon. George Miller, during the 111th Congress, at least seven times by my count, that he promised a vote didn't happen. They didn't come to us and say, hey, you know, we're having a problem here. They just didn't do it.
Well,
so the
memory,
question remains, why should we,
back,
why should trans people have
April,
faith in these people?
Last April. Not this past April, but the April year.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
April 2011. I was on the Pride Charlotte Committee at the time, and when it was repealed, and, you know, they spent millions and millions of dollars repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, I can understand, you know, service people being in the service and you know, hiding, and, you know, they shouldn't hide. They should be able to serve their country, you know, regardless of whether gay, lesbian, or transgender, which we weren't included. And the Pride Committee said, well, let's have a thing for Pride. You know, let's get some soldiers up there. Let's get them in uniform up on a stage. And I said, no. And I said, no, because transgenders were not included. But, like you said, they spent a lot of money, a lot of time on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It benefits our community, but it only benefits a few. Where if they would have spent the same energy and the same money on employment non-discrimination, it would have benefited everybody.
Yes.
And they did. They did.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this kind of behavior, and so I think it's fair to ask and say, you know, why should we trust these people now? I mean, we gave them everything they said they needed and more, and they still couldn't even get a vote, much less get the job done. Why should we believe them this time? You know, that's the answer I'm trying to find.
Well, I can understand where you're coming from because I was like you a year ago. You know, I'm like, you know, these people ain't going to vote for us. These people are not going to vote for me to be a delegate, these straight people. You know,
we know that the general public is way ahead of Congress on this. And our rights don't get voted on by the general public, usually, unless it's a state bill. We're talking about federal, and that's legislators.
Well, what was happening over the years, the grassroots, the Democrats, they go home, you know, for re-election, you know, and the preacher back home says, oh, no, you're not going to support these people. If you do this, you're not going to be re-elected. But we're getting beyond that. You know, North Carolina, you know, you already witnessed, you know, what we got the preachers around here wanting to lock us up in a chain-link fence. And starve us. And, you know, we had a demonstration of Westside Baptist. And, you know, the men in the cloth and the clergy in this state, including the Catholics, you know, who fired a longtime music director, Steve Bates, because he went out of state and got married. And it was against the Catholic doctrine that the people were starting to wake up and see. That's all they knew. You know, their preacher said, hey, don't vote against Amendment 1. We don't want same-sex people. We don't want two men get married or two women get married. But when we got out and started educating people after the fact, we realized what happened. They started turning around. And if they had that vote today, just like the Democratic Party in D.C., the senators and the congressmen, education is the key. We've got to educate these people that we're just regular people who want a chance. We want the same as all. And I believe Barack Obama knows this, and that's why the movement is towards, you know, inclusiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why I was elected a delegate, because the straight people saw that I was just a person like them. I might be different in my dress and presentation, but they all hugged me and loved me.
Well, that's great. You know, my question is, you know, will this be, you know, can we count on this to be turned into legislative action?
That's, I think we can. You know. And you know me long enough. I've been a hellraiser how many years? And you don't see me flip over for nothing. I know what's coming. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're right. I really do. I really hope you're right because, you know, I think trans people in general have a right to be wary. I mean, of course, I've said on this show a number of times, you know, don't be a fool. Vote for Obama because he's your guy. And, you know, I mean, Romney is an unacceptable choice.
Oh, Romney had a chance. He'd throw me down and cut my hair off.
Well, that's the thing. Romney is just, you know, the problem with Romney, I think, is that you cannot trust the guy. You know where he's going to be. You know where he's going to be on our issues.
Yeah, he made that quote. I didn't know y'all had families.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know that this guy is going to be on the side of the bigots. You know that he's just going to be, you know, I mean, we already know this. You know, the problem with, you know what the difference was, I make this joke on the show all the time, but unfortunately, I think it's the truth. The difference between Republicans and Democrats is Republicans will come right up to your face and say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I can to prevent you from getting civil rights. Whereas the Democrats come up to you and say, you know, oh yeah, I'll allow you, you know, I'm going to protect your civil rights, and then they do the same thing. You know, and that's part of my problem is you don't know who you can trust in the Democratic Party.
Well,
you know, they
from what I've seen in the last 2 years, 3 years, I truly, truly see it moving in the right direction, and you know, it's really hard to put into words the feelings I have. It's almost like, you know, when you were a kid and you went in church and you walked out of the church and walked down the steps and you felt like you were walking on air. That's the way I feel right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, that gives me a little bit of hope. You know, I mean, I was full of hope in 2008. Unfortunately, I we got the hope, but we didn't get the kind of change that we were really promised.
That's true. That was 4 years ago, but 4 years makes a big difference. You know,
we've
come a long way in 4 years.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I really do, because you know. I think people are getting a little tired of feeling, you know, we're inconvenient for the party, you know?
Yeah. We're not going to go away. You know, we're going to stay. We're going to stick it out. And, you know, I've said it many a time, you know, we need to take to the street. But, you know, a lot of people said, no, Janice, let's do it the right way. We don't want to go out there and get beat up, you know.
But isn't taking to the street, you know, I mean, because I've said this, this is another thing I've said on the show a lot. You know, isn't it interesting how we seem to make our biggest progress when we do exactly that, when we take to the street, when we wind up going out to, you know, chaining ourselves to the White House fence or to, you know, protesting the human rights campaign all over the country. That's when all of a sudden something like, for example, a non-inclusive ENDA becomes a non-issue.
We learned that from our Afro-American brothers and sisters during the Civil Rights Movement. They didn't sit still. I forgot her name. What was her name that was on the bus? She made a statement.
Rosa Parks, you mean?
What was it?
Rosa Parks?
Parks. Yeah, Ms. Parks. Is that what she said?
Yeah, Rosa Parks. She made a statement.
Rosa
Absolutely,
Parks, exactly.
She did.
Rosa Parks said, I'm not sitting in the back of the bus. No. And, you know, there's people in Greensboro, North Carolina, at the Woolworth lunch counter. You know, they brought in tanks and dogs. I've seen pictures. You know, I was here doing all that. You know, the Civil Rights Movement, they went out, they went to the street. They got what they wanted, the Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, Janice, I want to say thank you for coming on.
Times,
you've really been terrific.
Those times are in the past, but, you know, I found that most LGBT people, you know, don't really want to go to the street. You know, they try to do it politically.
I agree with you, and I think we need a little bit less of, you know, playing little, you know, Miss Nice Trans. I think we need to start...
Now, me and you, we'd go to the street.
I think we need to. I do. I think it's time that we started doing that. I think we've accepted too little for too long. And I think I think it's time that we started doing that. Anyway, Janice, I want to say thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. This was terrific.
I hope we'll talk again soon. It's really great Jersey girls.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Thank you, sweetie. Have a good night.
Okay,
everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and that was Janice Covington. Yeah, she was terrific. You know, and I encourage people, you know, I mean, it was very encouraging to hear what she had to say. You know, I have to say, I hope she's right. I really do. Okay. Always an adventure on the Rebecca Juror Show. We will have her on again because she's great. Okay. Mr. Mike is saying things in my ear.
Well, we've had a server failure for the live audience. You know,
I'm hearing music.
Well, are you able to hear
anything?
Why
am I hearing music?
I have no idea. Hang on just a second. Are you actually hearing music right now?
I am hearing... Let's Go Everywhere.
What?
I'm hearing some song out of my...
Wait. We've had a... Well, number one, we're barely on the... Yeah, we're not actually on the air right now. The Loudcaster is going out of business. And maybe they pulled the plug on the server during the middle of the show. But we've actually lost our live audience completely.
Oh.
And we're off the air, and I cannot reconnect. So,
oh, fuck.
Well, that's okay. You're recording a podcast right now, which is just fun. So,
okay. Well, apparently we're not on the air.
We may not get back on the air the way we're going. Oh. I've rebooted everything here that would be talking to the Loudcaster server, and it appears to be on their end. It's not here.
Oy vey.
Yeah. Well, by next show, we'll be relocated to a new place completely. They were supposed to give us through the end of this month. No, apparently not. Apparently today's the day, and they're pulling the plug right in the middle of our show.
Nice. Lovely. Always great to have these
that's
wonderful...
That's their way of telling us that they love us very much.
apparently, and they're not expecting any more payments from us.
No, actually, a month ago was the last payment, but they were going to go through the end of this month because they were closing shop. Apparently something's happened to that plan.
Lovely, lovely. All right, well, you know, we're going to talk a little bit longer. I guess maybe since we're off the air live, we may do a slightly shortened show.
Okay.
We'll see. It's 20 of. Let's see, what else do we have on the agenda here? We did Anderson. We did Mandy. We did all that. Let's see, we did Paul Ryan. We did that last week. What else do we got here? We got the Muslims. We did that. Okay, let's see. I don't know. I'm just gonna. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I'm. You know, we're gonna. I think we're gonna end a little bit early tonight because, to be honest with you, I'm a little beat. I had a busy last couple of days, so we're gonna end. Since we're not live on the air, those of you who are listening to this, you're listening on the podcast. We're not live right now, unfortunately. But I'm gonna just want to say this one thing before we cut it short for tonight. Keep your eyes open. You know, Ronald Reagan, for all his flaws, did occasionally get it right on the money. And one of his best quotes, trust but verify. When Tom Harkin or Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi or Barney Frank or George Miller or any of these guys try to tell you, oh, don't worry, we're going to take care of you. Oh, don't worry, we'll get end up passed into law if you get us fill in the blank. Keep your eyes open, because that's exactly what they said the last time. Barney Frank, 2008, get us 15 members and we'll get EndoPass. Never happened. Didn't even get a vote. Okay, now, will we get this kind of a result this year? Maybe. You know, I'll tell you, certainly won't be for lack of help from the Republicans. I mean, my God, they've managed to piss off everybody this year. You know, the war on women, I think, is... You know, they're not going to get minorities. They're not going to get women. They're not going to get gays. They're not going to get blacks. They're not going to get Latinos. They're not going to get anybody. Are there enough angry white men to put them up, to put Mitt Romney in the White House? Personally, I don't think so. I really don't. I think Mitt Romney, I've said this a dozen times, I think Mitt Romney is going to lose. And I think he's going to lose badly. I think he's going to make John McCain look like a close race. And the reason for that is because Mitt Romney is like an inflated balloon. It looks like there's something there. But when you really explore it and take a closer look, you realize that there's nothing inside. It's just hot air. And there's nothing of substance once you get past the surface. And I think that's what Mitt Romney is. And, you know, I'll tell you, I don't think the American people are as stupid as some of these people seem to think. I truly don't. I don't think that the American people are as easily fooled as they used to be. I think the American people have smartened up. I think they realize that if you want the answers, if you want the truth, you can find it. And I think the people have stopped accepting what people say. I mean, sure, there's always going to be some people who take whatever comes out of Sean Hannity's mouth or Rush Limbaugh's mouth or you know, these idiots at Fox and Friends.
There's always going to be some people that just accept that stuff as fact. But more and more, people are saying, you know what? That doesn't sound right to me. Let me check it out. I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see a more educated electorate. I think you're going to see a more democratic electorate. Because I think women, in particular, are going to say, you know what? Even if I agree with the Republicans on A, B, C, D, when they're trying to cut my access to contraception and abortion and basic women's health care, I think I have to say no. When they want to take away the right of my kid to get insurance, I have to say no. When they are going to put the burden of tax cuts for the wealthy on my middle class family, I have to say no. I think that's what you're going to see. And I think they're going to lose, and I think they're going to lose badly. And so what I'm hoping is that once this finally concludes itself, once we have this Republican, once we have this election, once this election is over, I suspect that we're going to have a situation where people are just going to say, you know what? No, enough. I just put up a new wallpaper on my computer of a Dragon Age elf woman with holding a knife, very sturdy looking woman with tattoos on her face, and it's very nice. Well, you know, yummy, big strong woman with big nice figure, yum. So, you know, of course it's a painting of a fictional character, but that's okay. And as a great quote, which I'll read the quote. We'll read this before I go off the air. And here's the quote from Dragon Age Origins. I suggest you reach for your purse swiftly, friend. Ale may have dulled my senses enough so that I may merely maim your pretty features. But should I become sober, I will be in a mood to show you a new realm of pain and violence. Yes. So, that's what's on the wallpaper of my computer. And since that is the case, I think it is time for us to say goodnight. And so we will catch you next week. I'm not sure who will be on, but take a look. Watch Facebook and Twitter for that. We'll catch you next week, everybody. Have a good night. We'll talk to you soon. Good night. Show the people!